over the course of the last 200 episodes, it's involved a lot of trial and error, a ton of research on our parts, you know, because none of us came into this as like certified relationship
encyclopedias
or encyclopedias. Right. Like none of us had like a PhD.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out of the box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. Songs I know I did. False and made a
for myself to fit. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, it is our 200th episode, and we are doing a special retrospective where we're talking about, over the past 200 episodes of this show, how we have changed, how our relationships have changed, and how this show itself has changed over these past 4 years. 4 years.
Wow.
That's,
yeah.
I mean,
200.
Our child is like walking and talking, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Our little collective podcast baby.
It's a fully formed human.
Yeah.
Well, not quite, but it's getting there.
Almost.
On
almost.
Its way.
Right. Just, 14 more years before it can vote.
Oh, okay. Yeah, 14 years to vote. It is making some money, which is better than most four-year-olds that I know personally.
That's a really good point.
That's true. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not enough to support itself, but it's making something. So that's
it's earning its room and board.
To put away for college or retirement, but it's getting there.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Our little podcast babies growing up, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's so sad. No, it's not. It, when people like write things about their babies, when they're like, this baby is now walking and talking, and it's I'm like missing the times when it was just sitting there like being a blob. I'm sure they say it more eloquently than that, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're going to be talking a little bit in this episode about the days when our podcast was...
was just a wee infant.
A little blob.
A little blob.
Lying there. When we ourselves were little blobs in our relationships and in our lives.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Small larva.
Just, I do feel like I need to get out there and say, we acknowledge the fact this podcast is nothing like an actual baby. So those of you who actually have those and are like yelling at your podcast machine, being like, what the hell do they know about babies? Yes, you're correct.
Nothing.
We fully acknowledge that this company and show is probably, honestly, the closest the three of us are going to have to having a baby in our individual lives. And so it's what we got.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So first, we just wanted to start out by saying that this show couldn't be where it is today. It probably wouldn't have been able to keep going. And, you know, to afford to keep going and for us to be able to spend more and more time on it and everything around it, like the community and the live shows and workshops and, you know, all of those things. If it weren't for our patrons and for all of the amazing people who have been guests on this show and the incredible community that we have, not just in the patron community, but the larger community out there as well, the people who have written to us, people who have tweeted at us or commented on episodes or shared them or written us reviews on iTunes or Stitcher or any of that, that really we just wanted to say thank you so much for the fact that we're here at all doing this 200th episode.
Yeah, at 200 episodes in, I started thinking, I was like, gosh, I wish we had like a, like, what are they, like your annual review at work?
Performance
review. I'm like, I feel like, what if we got like a panel of listeners and we're like, give us a performance review. Like, are we serving you well enough? How could we improve? But in the lack of actually being able to do
that's a great idea.
Well, maybe we'll workshop that one and let that percolate. But since we haven't done it yet, you know, the people who do take the time to reach out to us, either in the form of leaving a review saying we're great or in the form of an email saying, hey, I really didn't like this part. You know, both the praise and the criticism is essentially our version of an ongoing annual review all the time.
Right.
And so I really just want to acknowledge that, you know, we're all hyper-stimulated all the time by our, like our social networks and our phones and everything going on. And it can be super easy to just
never tweet at someone or send them an email, or just assume like, oh, if I message them, they're not going to see it or they're not going to care. And so for those of you who have reached out to us over the course of the last 4 years, just to say anything, it's actually really appreciated, because honestly, we do see, I'm willing to bet at least 95% of the feedback that we get across all the various platforms that this show is. And it really does help inform us, and it really does help to shape the show. And I realize that even though it doesn't take a lot of time to leave a review or leave a comment, it does take some time. It takes a little bit of intentionality and effort. And I just want to acknowledge that.
Yeah. I also wanted to say that I'm so impressed with our listener base, because it's a big group of people that are constantly like asking questions, thinking about themselves in relationships. And we see that constantly on our patron group. Just like, they're asking questions, they're trying to get better too. I'd like to think that like their ability to do that has hopefully been shaped by our podcast somewhat, but it just constantly amazes me, like, the people out there are so willing to learn and willing to become better at relationships and better at just being people in general. And so we're constantly given that through our patron group and just through the emails and everything, just learning and seeing how many people are excited to learn with us. And that's been a really amazing part of getting to do this podcast for so long.
Yeah. So do you want to get this started?
Yeah. So I guess, where to begin with this? I guess what I want to toss out to all y'all is, let's just start in the arena of ourselves personally. Because over the course of the last 200 episodes, it's involved a lot of trial and error, a ton of research on our parts, you know, because none of us came into this as like certified relationship
encyclopedias
experts or encyclopedias. Right. Like, none of us had like a PhD or anything like that. And so much of what we've done on the show has just been purely us wanting to research stuff and wanting to learn stuff for ourselves. And so there's been so much research. There's been so much stuff we've learned from the guests that have come on. And so I guess I wanted to ask the twos of you, and I suppose I'll answer this myself as well. Mm-hmm. How do you feel like you've personally changed over the course of these last 4 years doing this show?
I guess I can go first. Really, I kind of touched on it just now with our patrons, but getting to see through our guests and through our listeners, just like all of the different people and the different experiences that each of us have in the world, and how those experiences shape who we are. And it kind of has brought a lot of humility to my life, just because it is very easy to get bogged down with like the minutiae of every single thing that happens in my life and be like, well, nobody's going to understand this. Nobody's going to understand me just simply because like my experience is mine. But I've seen such a broad like range and scope of other people's experiences, whether or not they're polyamorous, monogamous, you know, a cis white male, or a trans African-American person, or anything. Like, all of those different experiences are something that has been brought to my attention in a way that I don't know if another medium would have been able to do that. And just getting to like be on this podcast, like learning constantly and broadening my own scope of like what is available out in the world. It's been incredible and something that I never probably would have been able to do otherwise.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it's really been such a privilege to, because like when we started this podcast, it was just the three of us, like just talking to each other and just putting it out into the world, and that was it. And so it's such a privilege that there is this community of listeners and of patrons, all of whom have such a wide spectrum of experience and identity, and all those things. And it is like, I don't know. I guess that's just what I want to come back to, is like, what a privilege to be able to be exposed to that and to have that opportunity to learn from such a wide spectrum of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I found that for myself, just the act of every week you know, at least during the day that we record and usually other days during the week, but every week for the past 4 years, having these very like focused and intentional conversations about relationships and about emotional well-being and about accountability and about gender and about different people's experiences. And then also, you know, getting feedback from people about that and hearing other people's experiences. For me, like very specifically, one thing that has really changed for me from the me 4 years ago is kind of my understanding of different gender dynamics, both in terms of like how we are socialized, as like how I was socialized as a boy and as a man, and how, you know, the women in my life have been socialized, as well as kind of the bigger picture thing about gender and kind of the restrictiveness of it and the other options out there. And that for me, that's really, it's changed a lot very personally in terms of my own relationship to my gender. Not just sort of this like, oh, I've gained knowledge, but like, no, I've actually, it's been this really amazing, but also sometimes challenging and sometimes difficult process of like really starting to question a lot of those things of like, who am I? Like, who am I? Not just what I've been told I am, just what other people think I am. And kind of like, where's the difference between how I might identify versus how I might feel. And it's like hard to even talk about without just like being very general like that. I'm trying to make it as specific as possible, but just, I had a thought recently where I was thinking about, masculinity and some of the ways that like men will, insult each other, about things, you know, about not being man enough or about, you know, calling someone gay or like implying something like that or whatever. And how so very like hurt and also very afraid a lot of men are by these types of things, about being seen that way, about being thought of that way being whichever of those you choose. And I realized that kind of, getting away from those things, even if you are, as you know, as far as you know, totally straight, and like that is your identity, that getting away from the fear of anyone ever thinking anything else or of being called anything else or having any traits that are associated with anything but that, once you let go of caring at all, not just saying you don't care, but actually not being concerned about that, it's sort of like gaining a superpower. And I had this realization recently, especially when I was having some conversations with some men younger than myself, two who are really like struggling with this and didn't know they were struggling with it, and just being like, man, like you can't hurt me with this stuff because I have this superpower now. So that for me has been a really cool part of this journey. And getting to meet a lot of other men who've had a similar experience in their lives, whether it was related to this podcast or just in their own lives and their own relationships. But that's definitely something that's changed a lot for me.
Right. Yeah, I think for me, I don't know, there's been like so many things. I feel like I've noticed in myself a change in how I react to criticism. And we talked about this a little bit with Cat Black about, you know, maintaining mental health and you know, dealing with people who are like really insulting or terrible online. But I'm not quite talking about that. It's like the stuff where it's, you know, people on YouTube being like, you're a slut or whatever. It's like, yeah, whatever. Heard it a billion times. You know, it doesn't really.
You're a man. Yeah. Heard it a billion times.
You know, doesn't really change my day. What historically has been more challenging for me is if someone sends me an email or sends the show an email where they are more specifically like, hey, like you used this turn of phrase, or you had this particular opinion, or you said this thing that I don't agree with, or that made me upset or whatever. Like it's harder when it kind of hits this gray area of like initially not being able to tell, do I take this to heart or do I not? Is this BS or is there something valuable? And I can't tell you how many times we've gotten some kind of critical email to the show That is attempting to be constructive criticism, you know, not just like bashing or whatever. Where my initial reaction has been that defensiveness has been like, well, why are they offended by this? Well, I don't feel this way. Or like, I don't think other people feel this way. Well, like, why can't we use this term? Or yada, 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 where it's like my initial reaction for like a day, let's say, will be that like defensiveness and be like, whatever, I can write it off. Like that person, you know, doesn't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And the number of times that like I've initially felt that way and then essentially by the end of the week have totally changed my tune to like, you know what, actually that's totally valid. And I think it totally makes sense that we can make an adjustment to our language, or we could use this different turn of phrase, or we could prioritize this different thing, or we could be more careful in, you know, what we express about this particular topic. So many times that I've realized like, oh, this person bringing this to our attention, it's not a violent thing. It's not a thing that I should feel defensive about. It's just, it's a corrective experience and that's okay. And so I feel like for me, that's really helped me to be much more open in the rest of my life to, to if someone calls me out on something or calls me in on something or whatever, that I can recognize, even though I have that initial feeling of defensiveness, that now it's almost like a signal to me that I'm like, ooh, I know I'm feeling it this way, but I'm willing to bet if I just give this some time, like I'll be able to kind of turn this around and I'll totally see what this person is saying and understand. And that's been really valuable, I feel. I don't know how y'all are with when it comes to like emails like that.
Oh no, 100% the same. Like that.
Yeah.
That natural reaction to be defensive, right? And then
absolutely
taking a step back and being like, actually, no. They took the time to write this. They, you know, like realizing how much courage it takes for them to even say it. It's that's definitely changed a lot for me. Also, in terms of how like being able to hear those things and I think something I'm still working on is being able to accept that criticism without letting it just destroy me, like, oh god, I've fucked up everything and I've done everything wrong and I've offended people and everyone hates me, you know.
Yeah I think it's really interesting going back home, for instance, and seeing my other friends who are not as just tuned in to the things that they say that might be offensive, even if it's not meant that way, but it happens constantly. And it's so fascinating because they have no platform, I guess, for themselves to, or anyone holding them accountable in any way. And no one saying like, hey, maybe you shouldn't say that. Like, that's not okay. Or even just if it's like a racial slur that's really, you know, not, I know, I understand, like, it's not meant that way, but it truly is, like, not, in my opinion, okay at all to say. And trying to stand up for that on my end, being like, hey, like, maybe think about that, or think about what you just said there, and, like, can you see how it's not okay in X, Y, or Z way? I think we get really privileged. Like, I know that I'm privileged being in Los Angeles and having a lot of people who are very understanding of others and understanding of all different walks of life, all different experiences. And that when you get into smaller towns or just more perhaps middle America, I don't want to like say that that's the case all over the place, but that often people just aren't as attuned as we might be, simply because we get so many comments of people teaching us. And that I'm so grateful for that, just because my scope of others again has changed so drastically from 4 years ago when we were young and thought we knew everything. And it turns out we knew nothing, obviously. We still know that for sure.
Yeah.
We were trying to come up with a title for this episode and we workshopped like a bunch of ideas and a bunch of silly ideas. And one that I wrote down was that was like 200 episodes later, colon, like we don't know anything actually.
Yeah. How true that is.
Yeah.
Seriously. But I guess is that Socrates or something who said
the only knowledge is knowing that you know nothing.
You know nothing. Something
like that. Yeah, it's so crazy. As they said in Bill and Ted. Yeah.
I guess this is a little bit more personal, but I've gotten better over these last 4 years at understanding my own boundaries, being able to say no, and learning how to like uphold my boundaries in a way that perhaps I didn't 4 years ago. And I know that that has absolutely been because of this show, and just even like you two telling me like, hey, why don't you like say no to that instead of just like driving your self into the ground and banging your head against the wall all the time. And that's been a huge one for me, just because we talk about it so often. We talk about boundaries and we have to think about it all the time. And it's easier said than done. I definitely still like allow my buttons to get pushed and like boundaries to get violated. But I think I am definitely better at it than I was 4 years ago when we started this.
Yeah. No, I mean, I know that's something that Emily, we have talked about a lot recently, of like how, how that's changed and is still changing. No, I mean, for you specifically, that we've talked personally about how that's something that you've, you know, definitely worked on a lot and worked toward. Mm-hmm. And I think Dedeker's talked about that too, of like how we're so socialized to never say no to anything and to always just please other people and not ourselves, and that it's potentially even worse for women who are so much more socialized that way. So yeah, no, that's a great one.
I mean, let me tell you, I remember in like the early nascent infant stages of recording this podcast, at the time, like when this podcast first began, like I was in a really not great relationship.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, everyone knows. It's old news. But the thing is that, like, I think about, there were so many times when, like, the three of us would have an appointment, you know, to record together. And I would know that I'd have to be there at a particular time. But, like, before coming over to your house, I would get into, like, a really terrible, awful fight with my partner that I was in this really terrible relationship with. And would just, you know, would have to, like, on the drive over, be, like, putting myself back together after, like, crying and full of adrenaline and, like, really pissed and really bummed out and, like, shaky. And then suddenly have to, like, get into podcasting mode and talk about good relationships. And there's something about that that's, like, really not sustainable, I think. And it's happened when I've been in other bad relationships also. Like, I found that it seems like it's really not sustainable for me, at least, to be in a truly bad toxic relationship and also be working on this podcast at the same time, because there is something to getting a chance to kind of proclaim your boundaries and your principles and your guiding light
every single week. Yeah.
And I think that's not just a thing that's like just me because I'm the one talking on this show, but I think also times when I've been better at like listening to shows or reading stuff that's really affirming and really filling me up, that it's hard to let my relationships just be really crappy. Basically, or let myself be in really crappy relationships, if I'm getting that constant, like, slow drip and constant reminder of, like, what's good for me. So I know for me, it's, like, yeah, it's definitely been this case of essentially kind of extreme accountability being on this show. Like, totally.
Well, like, the cognitive dissonance of, like, to talk about one thing but then be in a different kind of relationship. It's like one or the other has to give. It is nice that in these cases it has given for the sake of better relationships and still doing the show, rather than being like, I quit this show because I can't.
I quit this bitch.
Because I need to be in this relationship.
My shitty relationship's more important.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to get any wrong ideas. Like, I'm not 100% congruent all the time because I'm a human being. But at least it's there to highlight. At least I'm aware of, like, oh, I know I talk about doing this on the show, or I talk about doing this in my coaching practice, but I see myself having this really bad communication habit, or that this particular crappy behavior comes out when I'm angry or when I'm sad or whatever. And at least there's kind of always that sense in my mind of, like, I know there's kind of a gap between where I am right now and where I want to be. And it's just really nice to have that.
I mean, I feel like the show gives us some sense of accountability to a degree. Like in the back of our head, if we're not doing something in real life that we talk about on the show, it's like, hey, you need to be doing this better, because you understand the tools to a degree, and you have talked about this at length. So why aren't you putting it into practice? Like, what is the true reasoning behind it? And that, for me, like, is definitely something that has constantly gone on in my head and allowed me to, like, have a little bit of more kindness towards myself at times, and then also, like, a kick in the ass at times, being like, no, you need to do this better, because you talk about it on a weekly basis and there are no excuses.
That's really funny because sometimes I feel like I get more of a pass in my relationship with my partner, Alex, because like he's not on the show. He doesn't listen to the show every single week. And so sometimes I feel like I'm able to be a little bit more quote unquote like naughty in maybe my communication habits or something like that versus Chase. Like I definitely have no excuses because it's like we're talking about the same stuff every week, getting the same tools.
Right.
You know.
that is kind of funny. That's a good point. Funny. I found in one of my other relationships, I always have this thing of like, I don't know which episodes she's listened to or like how caught up she is. So I'm like, what if I said that I need to like be sure I'm doing, or like, you know, or on the other hand, like which things can I assume she already knows? Like, like with Dedeker, like I know that she understands the Triforce or that she understands radar or something like that. Whereas like with my other partner, it's like, wait, do I need, have we talked about this thing? Has she already heard this from me and I'm going to bore her by talking about it now? What is it? Yeah. Mm.
For a long time now, we've been fans of AdamandEve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on AdamMail.com and EvesToys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, MULTI at AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code MULTI. Okay, y'all. So I feel like we started talking about this a little bit in our last go around, but can we specifically put the focus on over the course of the show and all the many hours of research and trial and error and mistakes and stuff that we've made, how have your relationships changed or your approach to your relationships changed?
I mean, I'll go real quick on this one and then
please,
you can go. Just for me, this one has been partly about how my romantic relationships have changed. You know, in terms of when we started the show was kind of a little more into hierarchy and felt like there was maybe more of a place for certain rules and restrictions and things. And I feel differently about my relationships now. But I think the biggest change for me has actually been in my friendship relationships, and in other sort of like less easily defined partner relationships, that I've kind of moved more toward this relationship anarchy way of seeing each relationship for just its own thing. And it can have its own value and that relationship is made by those two people rather than needing to fit some certain boxes. And I think my simplest example of that is when I kind of had this realization where I was feeling like, oh, you know, I am not dating anyone in Los Angeles right now. And I don't have any, you know, things, you know, I don't have anyone to hang out with, don't have anything to do while I'm here. So I better like get on OkCupid and start trying to do that. And then in thinking about relationship anarchy and talking about it with you guys on the show, having this realization of like, wait a minute, but I get to do all of that stuff with my friend Eric, who I also live with. And it's like,
who is, he's like really is like your honorary partner.
Right.
I totally count him as that.
We don't have a physical relationship, but other than that, it's like, yeah, it's very similar in realizing not just like as a joke of like, haha, bromance, right? But just being like, no, actually, like a lot of the needs that I felt like I could only get met by this one type of relationship, realizing that didn't have to be the case. So for me, that was a big change in terms of how I approach dating and friendships.
That's great. Yeah. I just wanted to toss in a comment on that because I feel like a number of episodes back, we talked about that study where they found that a lot more millennial men are kind of getting emotional needs met by their relationships with other men, like platonic relationships, and how in some, like some publications that was like, oh, that's a good thing. And in some publications it was like, oh my God, it's going to be the death of romantic heterosexual relationships.
Calm down.
I know, seriously. But like, I love it. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's allowed me also to approach my romantic relationships or dates with a lot less of a sense of need, which I think I definitely approach relationships that way. And I know, I think most people do because we're kind of taught to, right? Mm-hmm. That whole.
Yeah. Like our partners have to fulfill absolutely everything. They are our emotional support. And it's like, okay, this becomes difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess, I don't know if I can go next here, but it's sort of like bouncing off of that. I know in my life I have had very codependent relationships. I think to a degree, Jace, you and I were in a somewhat codependent relationship for a long time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And I still struggle with that sometimes with both of you. But I think that I am a lot better than I was. And I think like my relationship with my mother, I'm less codependent than I once was. Mm-hmm. My relationship with Josh, I'm much less codependent than I once was. And it's allowed for more independence, just talking about how to do relationships well and how to, I think, just not need them to fulfill the holes within me.
Yeah. Wow. Jeez. Wow.
Well, okay. I guess my biggest thing when it comes to relationships, I mean, there's so many things. Like, I swear to God, like every time I do a radar, I want to log on to the Patreon discussion group and just be like, oh my God, I'm so glad I can do this. And like, it's so great. You know, but then I feel like that's going to be like a little self-indulgent. So I don't. But you know, like every time I do a radar with one of my partners, I'm like, by the time I get to the other side of it, even if it's been one of those like 6-hour radars where you need to take a break in the middle because it got too emotional or too angry or whatever, even then I still feel like, God damn, I'm so glad I have something like this under my belt. But I would say, specifically this year, I like to believe that I've gotten a lot more mindful about my sense of attraction to people, especially when I'm like
interesting,
like dating or things like that. And I haven't done like a ton of dating in the last year, but yeah, actually I want to do a whole other episode just on like the psychology of attraction and like deconstructing attraction and stuff like that, because I feel like I really realized for myself personally how much my sense of attraction to people has been influenced by my upbringing, by, you know, colonial values, by my privilege, by my perception of status of another person, by my perception how I think people are going to think about me. And I had this, like, even just a few months ago, I had this total trip out moment randomly where I was thinking about one of my earliest relationships ever in high school was with a boy. I can call him a boy because he was a boy. was with a boy who was overweight. And on the one hand, that relationship was a really good relationship in that, like, I really felt seen and heard and understood by this person, and we shared a lot of passions. And you know, it was a very formative relationship for me. And for years afterwards, actually, like when I would date more as an adult, like I'd meet someone who reminded me of him and I'd be like, oh, he reminds me of him. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We share these qualities. But at the time, like the relationship was really rocky and was really stressful for me because the biggest stressor was my friends giving me shit for dating a fat person. Mm-hmm. And it, and like even for years afterwards, when I would talk to my old high school friends, we'd all kind of like, oh, remember when you dated that guy? Oh, ha, 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 ha. Yeah, what was I thinking? But it wasn't until months ago that I realized, like, wait, like, if I didn't have anyone there, like, giving me shit for it, like, that probably would have been a much longer lasting, happier relationship. You know, I probably would have had a lot less stress about that relationship. And so that really threw me for a loop of starting to examine, like, the body types that I'm attracted to and, you know, the people that I tend to swipe left on or swipe right on. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not doing a ton of dating right now. And so, you know, we'll kind of see, you know, the next time I have the energy to really dive into dating, how that's going to manifest. But I've just spent like a lot of time really examining, like, why am I attracted to the people that I'm not? And it's not, well, I was going to say, and how can I change that? Not that there's a problem with who I'm attracted to right now, but like, how do I expand that? Like, what's in the way to expanding that? And just being able to kind of examine what are my like looksist and like default racist and sexist and, you know, all these assumptions that are keeping me attracted to a certain set of people, and, you know, making me not be mindful about who it is that I'm pursuing.
Yeah,
I feel like I got a little bit lofty. Did I lose the both of you?
No,
that was good.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot there. I think that would definitely be an interesting thing to research more about and stuff like that. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because ultimately, my bottom line is just that every time I think I've figured out my attraction and like my sexuality, for instance, someone else pops up that I find myself super attracted to, and I'm like, well, okay, back to the drawing board, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, which is great. It's not a bad place to be. It's actually kind of exciting to still be discovering these things about yourself, even so many years down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of attractive people here in Shanghai. Yeah. It's very interesting also, like, being in a completely different culture with a big language barrier, and something that I know the two of you deal with more often than perhaps I do, but just like seeing how something that you're not used to, like what kind of attractive things come up and like what you are attracted to. It is really interesting. And yes, as you said, examining that and just questioning yourself for whatever reason, just being like, why do I like this? Why don't I like that? And et cetera, et cetera. Like, what is inherent about me or what is inherent about my experience that causes X, Y, or Z to happen.
Yeah. I think that's just really interesting to like, I feel like the way that's shown up for me is kind of like not putting that second level of like judgment on myself for when I do feel attraction for someone, you know, like that kind of like the voices of Dedeker's friends that she mentioned, but just being like, no, I just feel this way. Like that's what it is. Or I don't feel this way. You know, like I don't feel attracted to this person who like logically I think that I should, or like status wise, I would think that I would, or, you know, something like that. That's been really interesting to just kind of like try to be more observant and like not judgmental of that for myself, and just being like, huh, cool, like maybe I wouldn't have expected that, but I've definitely like got some feelings going on.
Yeah, that's awesome. I also think this show has made me become a better listener, it just in a variety of ways, just like more constructive listening and also not thinking about whatever a person said based on my own personal biases, but just really like sitting there and listening to what somebody has to say. And then being able to acknowledge that often when people say something, when they're upset, they just want to be heard. They want to be, you know, they want someone to acknowledge that they, whatever they're feeling is okay. And you might not agree with it necessarily in that moment, but acknowledge that they, you know, that you heard them and that you're there for them and stuff like that. I think that the show has helped me a lot within that. I still have a long way to go, but it's been a good, important lesson for me to just become a better, more active listener over the years.
Well, I feel like that's actually a pretty good transition, Emily, because we didn't really approve this question ahead of time, but I kind of want to slip it in there, and I'm sorry. But I am really curious to know from both of you, and Emily, you can keep that same answer, or you can give a different answer, whatever you want. But like, are there things that you know you want to get better at? Like, Because I feel like we spend a lot of time thinking about where we started from and where we are now, but I want to think about like the future and heading forward, at least as far as like yourself and your relationships go.
Yeah, what a question.
I mean, I guess definitely it just being more patient, and because I know that I still, I'm either like really stubborn or I'm placating and like, oh, okay, I'll, you know, acquiesce to your demands or acquiesce to like the situation and just like try to diffuse it or whatever. So I think like simultaneously being better about not being a doormat, but then also being better about being able to halt in moments when I need to, understanding that like if somebody needs to take a break, instead of just trying to charge ahead and saying like, no, we're going to finish this, to not do that.
I mean,
these are big things. I was going to say little things that like still need to be worked on, but no, they're all big things for sure. But patience is a big one. I'm not great about that just in my daily life.
Interesting.
Yeah, I feel the same way. In some ways, I feel like I'm really patient, and in other ways, I feel like I'm not at all.
I feel like
for me, I mean, I mentioned earlier about being able to not be as like devastated by criticism. I think that one's definitely a work in progress, and I feel like I'm better about it, but it's been difficult, you know. That's definitely been a challenging one for me. I think also being somewhat of like a people pleaser, or like getting my self-worth from what other people think about me. And so that, you know, it's like you get a criticism and it's like, aha, evidence that everyone hates me and everyone thinks I do everything wrong and I'm no good. Right. Mm. Like that's like combating that has been a process that this show has forced me to face much more often than maybe I would have otherwise.
For sure.
Both in terms of like we were saying, you know, getting constructive criticism from people, or you know, even just like super negative comments on the show, that those don't get me as much as the ones where it's like it hurts because they're right. But even just in the stuff that we've explored on this show, or in things that guests have brought up, or things that I've learned through working on this show, kind of looking back and going, fuck, I've done a shitty job of this, or like I've been the bad guy in the past, or like I've been shitty, you know, I've made mistakes. And it's like, if your whole identity is around this idea that like you're somehow the good person and like the bad people are the bad people, that sort of black and white world, like our movies, if you have one thing where it's like, fuck, I was the bad guy, where do you go from there? You know, like you are the bad guy and therefore are terrible and deserve failure and bad things should happen to you. And you know what I mean? Like no one should sympathize with you and right. It just goes on. And, some of those moments have honestly been very difficult for me over the past few years. And that those are things I think I'm still kind of like recovering from, I guess, for myself, of like regaining my sense of identity or like confidence in who I am, and trying to build something that's better and stronger and also more flexible and more able to learn and listen to people. But I think that's still a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about
I think for me, the thing that I want to get better at is being more unapologetic. And I know a lot of people are surprised by that, because they're like, you wrote a book and you're on a podcast every week and like, this is your work. And it's like, in a professional sphere, yeah, totally unapologetic, like whatever, you know, if I got to hustle or I got to write something or like anything in my professional sphere is like no problem. But when I get into my personal sphere, when I'm dealing with family or friends who don't really understand, or even total strangers, like I'm trying to figure out, is it, like, is there a part of this where like I still feel kind of apologetic for who I am and what my relationships are and how I identify and what my sexuality is? Is that the main part of it? Or is the main part of it just I'm exhausted about talking about it and defending it? And I'm sure it's a little column A, a little column B. So, because what I find myself so often doing is that sometimes at the end of the day, if a family member asks about it, or if I'm in a situation meeting someone who doesn't know that I have multiple partners, it is just so much easier to just like not talk about it, or to pretend to only have one partner, or to just not even reference partners, or kind of dance around what it is that I actually do. And so I guess maybe the two of you could help me on this, or maybe some of our listeners could help me on this. I think I need to come up with a script for myself that accomplishes like both the truth of what my life is and what I do, but also conveys, I don't want to answer your 1,000 questions about it, at least not right now. I don't know how to do that without running the risk of this person just making a bunch of gross assumptions about me, or coming off as it being like a fuck you or something like that. So that's what I'm trying to figure
maybe
out.
Maybe just be like, reference the podcast. Just be like, if you have more questions about it, feel free to listen to the podcast. But this is what I do.
Yeah, I guess I could. Then that activates like my insecurity around self-promotion. And it's all it's a daisy chain of just badness.
I talk about the podcast all the time to people when they ask.
I know it because you do. It's great.
And also people are like, you've got that great voice. What are you doing with it? And I'm like, well, actually, and then I get to talk
you're
to
like,
the
I'm
podcast.
Fucking using it.
So, well, yeah, I have an in.
It's true.
I have just like
that's true.
A built-in right. in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then people are like, I'm going to sign up for it right now.
That is funny because I remember that you would sometimes complain to me years ago before we started this podcast about how often people would say something to that effect to you of like, oh, your voice is amazing, like, or you should be in radio,
I still hate it,
or you should do voiceover or whatever, but just that you were kind of like, yeah, I should, what the hell, like why, like where are those jobs, like why am I not doing that, to now where you can be like, well, actually I have a podcast that's been running for 4 years.
You're like, I have a podcast and I do voiceover work and I sing. So, bitch, right. I'm using it every single day.
And you recorded an audiobook, right?
Right.
Like, yes.
Done lots of things.
I did.
So basically, just like everyone who tries to compliment you, just be really sassy with them. just throw it right back in their faces.
I need to be better than what I am when I'm usually like, thank you. Yeah. Okay.
You're like, thank you. That is correct. This is a voice.
I know. I feel so bad, but it does become tedious after a while.
Oh, I think this might be just a mini rant, and I apologize in advance for that. I think I've realized also part of my issue is that the times, especially with my family or friends who do know that I'm like already out to, the time that I try to be so normal about it, like I try to just be like, oh yeah, I was in Singapore with my partner Alex, or oh yeah, like I'm meeting up with my partner Jason and his partner so-and-so later on. Like the times that I try to just like, you know, normalize as much as possible after they already know, like I just get so deflated when people have no idea what to say, and like people often just like pretend like nothing happened, like okay, let's just change the subject, or there's like a weird awkward pause, or like okay, I'm just gonna pretend you didn't say that, and I'm like, I don't know how to deal with that. I guess it's really not my problem. If they don't know what to say, they don't know what to say, it's their problem. But I'm tired of like killing conversations in that way.
No, I totally get it, but
a weird silence until someone else is like, so did you see the game last night?
Like, basically.
And you're like, well, all right, they're not worth it anyways.
Like, I don't know
they're
about
not
sports
worth talking to it about.
Oh man.
Yeah,
so yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, if finally we should definitely talk about the way in which this show has evolved over the last 4 years as well, because it certainly has.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus. Man, our humble beginnings beneath a blanket trying to
born beneath a blanket
exactly trying to make this show sound good when, you know, we had a ton of cars like right outside going like speeding down
lots of motorcycles
Boulevard.
And cars, and
we're marginally better now.
So like, first of all, I think it's worth telling people that when we first were recording this show, it was us like crowded around one microphone, basically, or I think maybe we had two of them like crossed, but like all sort of like huddled around a thing in like a blanket fort to try to dampen the sound
in our underwear, because it was so, because you had to turn off the air conditioning and it was so hot, and so we just like stripped down to our underwear because we had to be under this like freaking heavy ass blanket recording this show. Yeah.
And we had all of our show notes written on a whiteboard that we would like
so put up.
That was real smart.
And then we'd have to like take a photo of afterwards so that we would know what was on it when we wrote up the show notes and things like that. Yeah, we've definitely come a long way since then.
Yeah. Oh man.
Oh boy.
That's really incredible. Yeah, I mean, audio wise, we've upgraded considerably. Editing wise, I mean, I think just having Mauricio as our wonderful editor has made a big difference.
Talk
as
about
well.
Patience, goodness.
Yeah. So, hashtag sorry Mauricio. Hashtag thank you Mauricio.
Yeah.
For everything.
Yeah, seriously. I was looking back too at I'm looking through some of our old episodes right now. And also just thinking about all of the different formats for the show that we've tried.
Gosh, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where...
Yeah, we had, like, our Twitter thing for a while, which, like, really... Yeah.
Oh, the Twitter shout-outs.
Yeah, which did connect people in real life, so that was cool.
That's true.
That was, like, the very baby beginnings of any kind of community.
But it was kind of this,
that's true.
Like, a time-killing thing, in a way. You know, it was like, let's build community, but also, like, let's take up some time so we can fill an hour, you know, with what we have to say.
Absolutely.
Or like we had multi-riffery where we would try to like bring up some sort of not quite current events, but some sort of article or like something to kind of talk about and riff about.
Well, I love riffing, so I kind of miss multi-riffery, but I think it kind of that outlet turned into Drunk Bible Study, or the show where we can actually be more silly and make more jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think our, like, all of the research that we've done has evolved over the years as well.
Oh, so much.
I think we really, like, do a huge amount of research for every single episode. I hope that people out there know that we really do, like, consult articles, consult studies, like, consult, you know, infographics and real life people to make these episodes happen every week. And I think we're committed to that now in a way that perhaps we weren't as much when it started. I know I am, at least, because I want the show to be good, and and I know that it takes work in order to do that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I need to acknowledge the fact that, you know, we've talked about, you know, our community and the people that we've met and our listeners and stuff like that. I feel like it was really a turning point for us when there were people like Mauricio or like our social media wizard, Will, it was, or like our wonderful team of moderators who works for our Patreon community. When there were people who are not just like listeners and not just like listening to our content, but people who actually wanted to be kind of a part of this thing growing and building. And that's like, if I speak any more on it, I'm going to get all teary eyed. So I don't know if I should, but, that's just, as a game changer, you know, it's like such a game changer for us when there's like people who actually kind of want to get on board in keeping the train a rolling. I guess that's the metaphor I'm going to use, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And we have like 700 patrons or almost 700 patrons now. Like that is mind blowing. Mind blowing.
A little Dumbledore's army, if you ask me.
Yeah. It's incredible. I mean, just that even 700 people would be interested in helping our show out in any way, let alone like the many thousands more, hopefully, that are listening to the show on a weekly basis. That is mind blowing that has happened to this this humble little show that started underneath a blanket all those years ago.
Yeah, I was also thinking about when we were talking about criticism earlier that. You know, our episodes used to start out with like the Twitter shout outs and like some other kind of like random little bits. And we would actually start talking about the topic maybe about halfway through the episode, maybe a little earlier than halfway, but like around then. And like I said, I think part of that was to fill time because we only felt like we had that much like content to talk about. And there's two parts of that that are funny. The first of that is that now we have to like edit like crazy to get ourselves down to an hour because we just have like there's so much to talk about. There's so much that you know that we've looked up or that we've researched or that we've heard or that we've you know connected. That part, first of all, I think is funny that we used to struggle to fill that time out. Now we like really try to keep it concise. And then the other thing is speaking of criticism. Some of the criticism that we got quite harshly on Reddit was about, like, get to the fucking point, please. Like, I don't want to listen to 20 minutes of you guys talking about whatever the fuck you're talking about. And that was one that was, at first, was that sort of defensiveness. And then it was like, no, that makes sense. Like, this, this isn't a, you know, morning radio talk show where you're just goofing around with what's his name
and about the soundboard.
Yeah, all your sound effects and stuff. It's like, no, this is the show people come to because they want information. They want, you know, this kind of stuff. And I think that change has been a big part of now when I look at other shows, I kind of feel that I'm like, you should get to the point because you have good stuff to say, but we'd like you to get to the point. I think that's that was definitely an interesting change for our show.
This has been great. I don't want it to be all just about us. Like, I have to say, if we could name drop listeners and patrons on this show, I would. I haven't, unfortunately, taken the time to, like, clear that with people. So, unfortunately, I can't drop your specific names. But when I go into the patron group and, like, look through the threads, and sometimes I'm able to participate and sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm super on top of it, sometimes I'm not. But there are so many specific people, like, especially, like, some of the more active people in there that I admire so much, where I'm just like, oh my God, like, you are so courageous and you are so vulnerable and you are so amazing for taking the time to support this person who's, you know, posting in the patron group because their relationships are imploding, or you are so amazing for calling out this person in a really gentle, compassionate way. Or you're so smart. Like, there have been so many times when there's been a thread and I kind of want to be like, do y'all want to plan an episode on this? Like, maybe that's something we could coordinate in the future as a little patron planned episode. Could
be fun. That's a fun idea. I like
That would be lovely.
But that's the thing is, you know, this show doesn't exist in a vacuum. And although in the early days it felt like it did, but I don't think it really ever has. That definitely hearing from all of you who have emailed us and who have left comments and who have called us, you know, it always leaves a mark on us. It does influence the show. And I just admire people who can be so vulnerable and so supportive, and also, again, just so brave in their relationships, in their life, in their coming out stories, in them messaging us to tell us where we've made some kind of bullshit mistake. You know, like, all those things take this courage, and it seriously is inspiring to me every single time. So definitely for me and from the rest of us, like, thank you to all of you who have listened and who have connected with us in some way, and especially to all of you who are our Patreon supporters as well.
And here's to 200 plus more.
Exactly. Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Any, like, shooting from the hip predictions for the next quote unquote season of Multi-Amory?
The next 100 episodes.
The next 100 episodes. Yeah. So that is, like, about two-ish years or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know there's so many topics we've talked about, but there's even more to talk about. Obviously, we're just going to have to keep digging, keep learning, and keep getting better.
Yeah, I think, like, connecting with more people, like, building this community to be larger so that there can be this even greater support network for everyone involved all around the world. And I think that, like, when I look at a year ago to now and just how much has changed, I'm like, gosh, I don't even know how I could predict what would happen another year from now, much less 2 years, you know, 100 episodes from now. I feel like a lot, and it's a really exciting, it's a really exciting thing.
Well, I want to meet more people in person, because anytime we've done tour or live shows or workshops or whatever, it's just like a freaking blast. Or even, like, even the little casual, like, patron meetups that happen to like go sing karaoke or whatever, like, it's a blast. I love it. It really instills in me how important it is to have community and good people around you. And so,
absolutely,
I hope between now and the next 100 episodes, we do more of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much for listening. Thank you for contributing. Thank you for connecting to us. The best place to share your thoughts about the last 200 episodes of this podcast with other listeners is on this episode's discussion thread in our private Facebook or Discourse forums. You can get access to these groups, and you can join our exclusive community by going to patreon.com/multiamory. In addition, you can share with us publicly on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. You can email us at info@multiamory.com. You can leave us a voicemail at 678-MULTI-05, or you can leave us a voice message on Facebook. Multiamory is created and produced by Emily Matlack, Jace Lindgren, and me, Dedeker Winston. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio Balvanera. Our social media wizard is Will McMillan. Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP. The full transcript is available on this episode's page on multiamory.com.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.